Please take your copy of God's Word and turn to Ephesians chapter 5 with me, please. If you don't have a Bible, you'll find one underneath the seat in front of you. Feel free to take it. It's a gift. We'd like for you to have that. But if you would, please turn to Ephesians chapter 5. We've been doing a series on the Christian home. We've looked at the role of the wife, and now we're looking at the role of the husband. And I must confess to you that I have struggled this week with this message. And the reason I've struggled is my job in this respect can be tough in that I have to give you God's standard. I have to give you God's perfect standard, which is a very high bar. And I confess that I don't measure up to that bar. And if you know me well, you know that I don't measure up to that bar. But yet my job is to give you that bar. And if you're here today, and if you don't measure up to the standard that I'm going to give you today, there's hope for all of us, men. If you're still breathing, and if you're reading God's Word, and if the Holy Spirit is in your life, you and I both can do better. Okay? So that's the standard. So with that in mind, let's go to the Lord briefly in prayer before we start. Father, we thank you for your word, and it humbles us. It humbles me as a man, it humbles me as a husband, but yet our model is Jesus Christ, and we look to him. If we keep our eyes on Christ, we can lift our heads high. So I pray now that you would use this not to discourage us, but to encourage us to move on and be more Christ-like in what we do. We pray these things and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we've seen over the last few weeks, the Bible says that the husband is the head of the family. He is the leader. Now, this isn't a cultural thing. There are some churches that want to water this down and say that it's a cultural thing. It doesn't apply today. But folks, that's just not true. It's biblical. And the way we know, one reason we know it's biblical, because it's based on the pattern that we find in Jesus Christ himself. Here's the problem. The problem today is that there are too many Christian husbands that don't want to be the head of their home. There are too many Christian husbands that don't want to be the spiritual leader of their home. I hear things like, well, you don't know my wife. How can I lead my wife? And some people will yell and they'll try and command, and that isn't what we find in the Bible. So we want to ask the question of the Bible itself, men. How can we lead our wives? What's the primary method? Now, the pattern is found in Ephesians chapter 5. Look at verse 23, please. Look at verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. Now, look at verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. So this is the primary method of leading, men. It's love. Love is the way that you are to lead your wife. 1 John 4:16, the Bible says, we have come to know and have believed that love which God has for us, God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. The biblical pattern, men, is love. The Lord died for us. Christ died for us, and we are then moved in love to obey him. Husbands, you are to love your wife as Christ loved us. Then, because you do that, they then want to submit to you. They want to please you. This is the primary method of how you are to lead your wife. How do I get my wife to treat me like a king? Treat her like a queen. Love, then, produces more love. Husbands are to lovingly lead their wives. Now, there are three primary elements of love that I'm going to look at today. The first is emotional love, which involves physical love, feelings. Now, this is important. If you're dating someone and there are no feelings, if there's no emotional love, don't marry her. Don't marry him. However, we need to understand that feelings come and go. Feelings are up one day, feelings are down the next. Feelings are like the tide at the beach. I like to go to Myrtle Beach and just stand on the shore and watch the ocean. We can learn so much by looking at the ocean. And one thing we see is the tide is in and the tide is out. The tide comes in, the tide goes out. That's the way emotional love is going to be in your marriage. Sometimes it'll be there, sometimes it won't be there. You might say, I don't love my husband anymore. What you mean to say is the feelings are gone. Why? Why would the feelings be gone? Well, sometimes just the pressure of life can cause that. You can be down. You can be discouraged. If you're sick, if you're dealing with pain all the time, it's hard to have the emotional feelings when you're going through things like that. But folks, let me encourage you. If the tide is out in your life, work at developing this level of love. Don't let it slip away from you and do nothing about it. Work at it. Now, this is especially a danger for folks that have been married a long time. Drive these roots very, very deep in your marriage. Second element of love is the intellectual aspect, which means you think alike. You like the same kind of things. You like the same friends. If you're dating someone and you don't like his friends or she doesn't like your friends, be careful. That's a red flag. You need to do the same things. You need to like the same things. Ladies, your husband should be your best friend. You should grow more and more alike. When you first get married, you're out here on both sides. But as time goes by, you should be moving closer and closer together. You should grow more and more alike. You should try to grow alike spiritually as well. Third element of love is the will. When the feelings aren't there, for whatever reason, this is the glue that's going to hold your marriage together. You commit to your marriage. When your feelings are flat or you're going through a rough time, you will to hold your marriage together. Now, this is the most important of the three aspects of love, which means you love no matter what. You choose to love. I love you, no ifs, ands, buts about it. Now, that's the way the Lord Jesus Christ loves us. Before you were a Christian, before I was a Christian, we were willful rebels. We weren't pleasant to be around. Jesus Christ willed to love you, and He loves us unconditionally today. Jesus Christ doesn't love us based on our faithfulness, and that example should move us to love one another. It should cause us to have a healthy love. A healthy marriage involves all three aspects of love. If the feelings aren't there, you must work at it until they are there. Don't give up on it. Make sure it's there. It's an important part of it. Now, men, if you're going to lead your wife by love, it involves a couple things. Again, we want to base it on Jesus Christ. He is the pattern. What do we see in Jesus Christ? We see that Jesus Christ's love is a particular love, or it's a special love. It's given to His bride alone, the church. Now, God has a general love for mankind, but He has a very special love for His bride, the church. So how do you love your wife? As Christ loved the church and as He gave Himself for her. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself up for her. So men, we love all women in general. But it's not the same kind of love. The love for your wife is a special love. It's a special kind of love. So how can you show her that you love her? Well, one thing, don't go around talking about your old girlfriends. Your wife does not want to hear about your old girlfriend. Be careful when you talk to her about other women in your life, women that you meet at work, wherever it may be. Be careful of that. Your wife does not want to hear a whole lot about that. Listen to Proverbs chapter 5, verse 15 through 19. 5:15. Drink water from your own well, and fresh water from your own well. Should your springs be dispersed abroad, streams of water in the streets, let them be yours alone and not for strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth. Let her breast satisfy you at all times. When I started my first Hebrew class, walked in the class, I was scared to death, and I had my book, and I was opening the book, and as I flipped through the book, the first few pages of the book, there was a dedication. He had dedicated the book to his wife, but it was in Hebrew, and I couldn't read it, of course. So as I went through the class and I started picking up how to read Hebrew, I went back to his dedication, and he had dedicated it to his wife, and this is what he wrote. He quoted this verse in Hebrew, "Let her breasts satisfy you at all times." So men, this is also a warning. There should be joy in your marriage. Be satisfied with what you have in your marriage. You have a particular love. You need a special love for your wife. Number two, Christ's love is a practical love, or it's a practicing love. Listen to 1 John 3:18. 1 John 3:18. Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and in truth. So Jesus Christ, in his love for his bride, he acts. Now we see Christ backing up his love with action. So don't just say to your wife, "I love you," show it. "I love you and I will do this for you." Too many of us have grown up in the church and we know how to talk the way we should, but many times we don't show it. Back in our text, Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. That involves action on your part and my part. Listen as I read from Mark chapter 10, Mark 10:45, we see Jesus saying, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." So there are two words there that we want to zero in on. Serve and to give. Christ gave himself up for her. That's your job, husbands, to give yourself up for her. So here's a principle. Be a servant. Jesus Christ was a servant also, but he was a strong leader at the same time. So as I mentioned last week, a Christian husband should be his wife's biggest servant. Today, when we turn on television, what do we hear? My rights. What about my responsibilities? It involves dying to yourself on a daily basis. It involves self-control. So how do we practice this love? How did Christ do it? Jesus Christ dwells within us. He lives with us. Jesus Christ spends time with us. Many husbands today don't spend time with their wives. They spend time at work. Now, why would a husband spend time at work and not at home? Well, one reason is to buy more stuff, is to buy more things. When they do that, they leave their wife at home alone, and they justify it by trying to get ahead. Too many husbands today are not living with their wives. So what's the pattern that the Lord gives us? We find it in 1 Peter 3:7. You husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with someone weaker, since she is a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered. So how do you practice loving leadership? Men, you spend time with your wife. Spend time together. Some couples go on separate vacations. Be very careful of that. Do things together. Plan together. Guys, when you start making decisions, include her. If you're going to talk about buying a new car, whatever it may be, include her. She needs to be part of that process. Don't make all the decisions, men, or your wife will not be able to make decisions on her own if something happens to you and the Lord takes you home. Her ideas are as good as yours. Be willing to change. The conversation may change both of you. Work together. Play together. You as a husband and wife should be doing most things together. Now, a lot of men like to go hunting and fishing, and that's fine. My daughter, Crystal, was dating Pat, and Pat was a very serious fisherman. Now, Crystal, she would never touch a fish. A worm? Oh, no. So I thought, this is going to be interesting. I want to see how this develops. Well, it was wonderful, because Pat would go fishing, and she would go with him, and she would be on the boat getting a suntan. Now, that's great. They're together. So here's the principle. Set time to grow together or grow apart. Set time to grow together or grow apart. Found this statistic interviewing married couples. 85% of the problems in a marriage boil down to this. We can't communicate. 24% of the people interviewed said, it's easier for me to talk to my mother or a close friend. Now, men, when you don't talk to your wife, she feels, number one, shut out. Number two, she feels like she isn't your equal. A lack of communication in your marriage is going to affect everything. It's going to affect your sex life. It's going to affect your relationship between the two of you. It's going to affect your relationship with your children. It will affect everything. So why don't couples communicate? First of all, I think because it's hard. It takes work to do it. Number two, I think because people are just too busy doing other things. When I was growing up, there was a song called Silence is Golden. Well, that isn't true in a marriage. Why don't they communicate? There's a fear of opening up to one another. There's a fear of being wrong. You should never be afraid of being wrong. Admit it. Create the environment where someone can say, I was wrong. How do we communicate? First of all, we need to recognize that communication is a habit. You can learn how to do this. You can learn how to communicate. What's it involve? First of all, it involves learn how to listen. Now, the Lord Jesus listens to us. Turn off the TV. Turn off the computer. Turn off your cell phone. Look the other person in the eye. When she's talking, don't be thinking ahead about what you're going to say. You have two ears, one mouth. Listen. Number two, get the other person talking. Don't ask yes or no questions. Are you mad at me? No. Conversation's over. Ask open-ended questions. Why are you mad at me? What did I do? How can I fix it? Don't be a, what's the word in the sports term? Ball hog? Is that, did I say that right? When my oldest son, Jeremy, was growing up, he liked Michael Jordan. I'm not a basketball guy, but he liked Michael Jordan, so I started watching Chicago Bulls, Michael Jordan with him, and we did that together. That's something we did. And so I'd buying books about Michael Jordan and things like that. And one thing I learned about Michael Jordan was that in his early career, he thought he had to make all the shots. And one thing his coach was trying to get him to learn was to pass the ball around and share. And after Michael Jordan learned to do that, that's when they started winning. And same thing in your marriage. You don't have to say everything. You need open communication between the two of you. Once you start that flow, things will get better. So how do we communicate? Speak the truth in love. You need to speak at the right time. For me, it shouldn't be first thing in the morning. I am not a morning person. For Janie, I've learned I should not try and talk to her about something important when she's fixing dinner. She doesn't hear me. Doesn't mean she isn't interested. I don't have her attention. I've also learned that I should not talk to her about something important at 10 o'clock at night when she has her feet up on her lounge chair and her eyes are closed. Hey, wait a minute. Maybe that's how I can get them. No, no, don't go there. Okay. I should not talk to her late at night. Next. Pick the right place to communicate. Not in front of others. Be kind. We spent months looking at the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit is kindness. Avoid words like never, or you always do that. Be careful when you talk about your in-laws. Pray before you talk about anything. Sometimes both of you will be wrong. Open the conversation by saying, I was wrong, not you were wrong. It's important. It'll help you overcome that hurdle. Your communication should involve two things as a Christian. Forgiving and forgetting. Forgiving and forgetting. Go back to our text, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Look at that, please. 4:32. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ is also forgiving you. Now, this is an important part of communication. Forgive, which means you need to say, I am sorry. Don't just think, well, she knows that. No, she needs to hear it from you, men. You need to say, I am sorry. You need to use the words. It involves forgetting. Now, you might be thinking, well, if she did this, I can't forget it. You're right, you can't forget it. But what's the pattern? If you've been through my premarital counseling, you know you've already heard some of these things, but we need to hear it again. The Bible says that the Lord will not remember our sins. Well, is that true? God knows everything. God can't forget anything. God knows everything about my sin and your sin. What the Bible means is, God says, after you repent of that sin, I will not bring it up again. That's what it means. So when your husband does something wrong and he says, I'm sorry, please forgive me, and you forgive him, you are saying, I will never bring it up again. Now, a year down the road, when you get into an argument, and hopefully this doesn't happen, but your voice starts going up and your blood pressure is going up, and in the heat of that moment you say, and you did this, don't you remember? Can't do that. When he asks you to forgive him and you say, I forgive you, you are saying, I will never bring it up again, ever. It's covered under the blood. You're not even to think about it. Now, what's harder? Saying, I will not think about it is harder. So when the devil brings it into your mind, you need to pray and say, Lord, help me get this out of my mind. And how can you do it? You start thinking about good things that your husband has done. He did this. He's doing that. He's here now working hard, trying to bring home dinner for us. Think about the good things that your husband has done. You're not to think about it either. So there's a pattern here. Jesus Christ loves us, and it moves us to love her, men. And then, because of that, she then wants to please you. So it's a practical love, and it is a practicing love. Now let's go back to Ephesians 5:26. 5:26. Look at that, please. So that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, the Lord Jesus, sanctifying his bride, the church. How do you lead your wife? One way a husband is to lead his wife is by meeting her needs. Is by meeting her needs. Look at verse 26 again. So that he might sanctify her. Now, your wife has a lot of different needs. One of her needs, she has social needs. A husband and wife are one, and they should be together most of the time. Most of the time should be spent together. But a wife has her own social needs. She needs some time alone with the other ladies. She needs a ladies' night out. She needs time alone with you, but she also needs time alone with just the other ladies. That's okay, men. If you have young children, get a babysitter. Take her out for dinner. Go someplace special. Spend the money on a babysitter. Other than the Lord, men, your wife is to be the number one priority in your life. Other than the Lord, your wife is to be the number one priority in your life, not your children. You love your children, but your wife is the priority. So how can you help her meet her social needs? Have people in your home. Practice hospitality. Have friends over. If there are new people in church, have the new people over. Help them get to know folks. If you don't know how to entertain, learn. It isn't hard. You can do it. If you're just starting out and you don't know how to do it, have a few people over. Practice. Have people over that you know. Tell them, I want to practice on you. Well, what if something goes wrong? I can guarantee you something will go wrong. I guarantee it. I could stand here all day and tell you absolute disasters that have happened at my house when we have had people over. Burning the meat or whatever it might be. I could go on and on, but you know what? Some of my greatest friendships have started with disasters in our house. And if you have someone over and there's some disaster and they don't appreciate that, well, that's not the kind of person you want to spend time with to begin with. Most people are going to appreciate your effort. Some of our greatest memories come out of the things that blew up on us. So men, help her do it. Encourage her to do it. Next. As a husband, you must meet her spiritual needs. Now, Christ feeds his bride. I ask you today, are you feeding your bride? Do you read the Bible together? Do you pray together? Now, it's hard with our busy schedules and things like that, but is your intent, or do you want to do it? Are you trying to do it? Even if you fail, are you trying to move that way? Are you reading the Bible together? Are you praying together? You take the lead, men. Don't wait for her to do it. You're the spiritual leader of the home. You took the lead when you were dating. Don't stop now. You talk about football? Great. Nothing wrong with football. But do you also talk about the Bible? Do you talk about spiritual things together? Verse 26 again. Speaking of Christ for his bride, our model, so that he might sanctify her. Now, guys, that is a big responsibility. Let me ask you this. Hear me. Is your wife more Christ-like because she's married to you? Is your wife more Christ-like because she's married to you? Or is she more Christ-like in spite of you? Jesus Christ sanctifies his church with the word, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, the spiritual word. Jesus was always teaching his disciples, always talking to them. It was a job 24/7. Whenever they were together, it was a teaching opportunity. It wasn't just a Sunday morning thing or here or there. He was constantly teaching his disciples. And that's the pattern we need, men, with not only our children, but with your wife. Are you constantly teaching and training your wife in spiritual things? Next, we see that it is a purifying love. Look at verse 28. So husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ wants to make the church holy. Men, it's your job to make your wife holy. Say it again. It's your job to make your wife holy. And that includes friendships. Making sure that you have the right friends as a couple and friends that will build you up and not friends that will tear you down. But it's your responsibility to do that. And listen to Galatians 6:1. Brethren, if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself so that you too will not be tempted. Be careful with friends. Make sure you have friends that are helping you to build her up. It's our responsibility to help our wives to grow spiritually. Next point. A husband is responsible for the loveliness of his wife. A husband is responsible for the loveliness of his wife. Look at verse 27, 5:27. That he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. A husband is responsible for the loveliness of his wife. Now, before marriage, the father is responsible. After marriage, the husband is responsible. Remember the wedding ceremony. What takes place there? The pastor says, who gives this woman to be married to this man? Then what happens? The father takes his daughter's hand and he places it into the hand of her husband. Now, dad then transfers responsibility to the new husband. Husbands are required to love their wives with effect. Think of effectual calling, the doctrine of effectual calling, how God will save you. He will make sure that you're sanctified. He will ensure that you grow. He will get you to heaven. There's a responsibility there, men, on you as a husband. And we see in Romans 5 that Christ makes his people lovely. He doesn't find them lovely. He makes them lovely. Jesus Christ didn't come and try to make his people lovely. He came to secure the salvation of people. So husbands, let me ask you this. When other people are around your wife, they should expect to see her grow spiritually. They should expect to see your wife grow in loveliness, partly because of you. Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. Paul writes, I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. God uses means to accomplish growth in you and in your wife, but you are a big part of the means that the Lord is using. So now back in our text, Ephesians 5:25, look at it. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church, gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. So Paul is talking about action. Paul is talking about action that accomplishes something. So there needs to be action on your part, men, and on my part. You need a date night, a regular date night. The more children you have in the home, the busier life is, the more you need this. You need time alone with just the two of you. Men, it's your responsibility and mine as the husband to make sure that your family is in church. It's your responsibility, not the wife's responsibility. Jesus Christ gave himself to his bride, the church. We are to imitate Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ sacrificed himself for his bride, the church. Husbands, you are to assume full responsibility for the loveliness of your wife. Wow. Let me hold on to the podium. What a responsibility. You are to assume full responsibility for the loveliness of your wife. Now, that's what Jesus Christ did. That's what Jesus Christ did. That's the model he has for us. That he might present to himself the church in all her glory. Now, I'm about through. And this has been a lot. But men, if you have failed in the past, it's okay. Now, it's not okay, but it's okay. What you need to do, start now. Start now. Your failure as a husband, all of your failures as a husband in mind, are covered under the blood of Jesus Christ. But what the Lord wants to see in you, what your wife wants to see in you, is growth. Is there spiritual growth taking place in your life that people can see? Yes, I failed here. I've failed in the past. I've failed. I can name my own failings. Years of failings. And tonight I'll probably name a couple. But what your family wants to see in you is progress. Yes, you slip and fall, but do you get back up and keep going? Is it your desire to practice the things that we're looking at today? That's what your wife wants to see in you. Not a perfect man, but a man that's committed to doing it. That's what she wants to see. Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you for the rain that you've given us. We need it. We pray that you will protect your people from that and bring our people back, Lord, in your will and your sovereign time. We pray for the ones that were not able to get here because of the weather, and it's a lot of people. But Lord, I thank you for the ones that are here. This was a sovereign appointment that we have today, and we need to hear this information. So I pray that you will encourage the men and the husbands in this congregation with this material, and that we will commit to starting fresh today, right now, and doing things your way. And I pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.